You know, isn't it exciting that we have that day to look forward to? We know that whatever the trials and difficulties that we face in this life, that day is coming when God will wipe away the tears from our eyes. And we will see Him face to face. And that leads directly into this morning's scripture, which I would like to share from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, as Peter was writing to people who had similar challenges and sadness in life. And he writes to give them hope. Let us give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He gave us new life by raising Jesus Christ from death. This fills us with a living hope. And so we look forward to possessing the rich blessings that God keeps for His people. He keeps them for you in heaven, where they cannot decay or spoil or fade away. They are for you, who through faith are kept safe by God's power for the salvation which is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Be glad about this, even though it may now be necessary for you to be sad for a while, because of the many kinds of trials you suffer. Their purpose is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. And so your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested, so that it may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. You love Him, although you have not seen Him. And you believe in Him, although you do not now see Him. So you rejoice with a great and glorious joy which words cannot express, because you are receiving the salvation of your souls, which is the purpose of your faith in Him. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, help us to rejoice in hope, knowing that despite the suffering and the trials that we experience in this life, our ultimate hope, our ultimate glory is in You. Speak to our hearts and encourage us today by Your presence and Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I face somewhat of a dilemma because as I'm planning out and thinking about what I want to say over the next several weeks and leading up towards the end of my time of ministry here, it seems like there's so much yet I would like to say, even though I've been talking to you for 12 years. And it's hard to know what God wants me to say and to be able to fit it all in. So I have to take refuge in the promise that Jesus says that He will lead us into all truth as we go forward. And I don't have to say everything that needs to be said because He will. And as He leads us through this, continue to listen to His voice. But one of the important points that I find that I haven't really talked a lot about is how to deal with trials and pressures in life and how to understand them as from the standpoint of our Christian faith. We have experienced lots of difficult times in life, and we know that there are many difficult times ahead in our lives. I was talking to somebody this week who was sharing just a series of events that was going on in their life, thing after thing after thing, that was bad. And what do you do with that? How do you understand it? How do you cope with it as a Christian believer in Jesus Christ? There's this kind of myth out there that Christians don't have trials. That if you're a real Christian and if you really have strong faith in God, you're not supposed to suffer. And if you're suffering, there must be something wrong with you or there must be something wrong with your faith. But that's not what the Bible says. In fact, Jesus, before He died, said to His disciples, "In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world." So as followers of Jesus Christ, it's not that we are immune from trials and difficulties. It's that our faith is in one who can overcome all those trials and difficulties. So how do we make sense of the things that we're going through in life? I'm not sure if I'm going to have time to get through everything I'd like to say this morning about this, so there may be a few blanks left on your outline. But I included enough scripture in there that you could hopefully figure out all the answers. And I hope that you will take this home and think about it and read it over more. But the first important thing when we consider how we face trials and pressures in life is to put our trials in perspective. And that's what Peter tries to do for the people that are reading his letter. He's trying to put their trials in perspective that our true hope is in heaven. Our hope is not for this world. Now, we get so caught up in the things of this life that we want to turn out well, and naturally so. But we need to realize that this is not the end of things. This is only like the prelude for an eternity with God. And that everything that we're going through in this world has a purpose behind it. Peter says that we have a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that we have a new birth into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, and never fade. That is where our hope lies. You know, when we have children and they go through difficulties, we oftentimes kind of minimize those difficulties because they seem so little and ridiculous. I mean, the things that kids get upset about. I didn't get the red pop. I wanted the red pop instead of the yellow pop, you know. And that can be the end of a day right there. And you're going, but if you only knew, there's a lot bigger issues out there. And so sometimes the things that we go through seem really big, and in many cases are, but there's such a bigger perspective that our hope lies in heaven. And when we get to heaven, many of the things that we will have gone through here on earth are going to seem so small and so ridiculous compared to that perspective of our hope in heaven. And our trust is in God's power to shield us. Peter says that we are kept safe by His power. If God be for me, what can man do to me? It's often said that God plus one equals a majority. If God is with us, who can be against us? There is no power on earth that can separate us from the love of God. Therefore, we are set free to live life to the full here on earth, regardless of the trials that we face, because we don't have to worry, because the ultimate issue is already settled. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we have an eternal future secured with Him. I knew a person once who was going to medical school. Actually, he was going to college, but he wanted to be a doctor. And he got into this special program in his college that allowed him to automatically be admitted to the medical school. And the purpose of that was to allow the students who were in that program to branch out and take other things and get into other areas and become more well-rounded. Because, you see, when you're trying to get into medical school, your top priority is math and science and getting straight A's. Because otherwise you're not going to get into medical school. And by doing that, potential doctors kind of get narrowly focused and aren't well-rounded people sometimes. And so the purpose of this program was, you don't have to worry about getting into medical school. You're automatically guaranteed admission as long as I think you had to maintain a 3.5 or something like that. But you didn't have to get straight A's. And so he could branch out and take other classes and other coursework. He ended up minoring in classic literature, like Latin and Greek, and learning and becoming a much more well-rounded person because he didn't have to worry about getting into medical school. Well, the same is true of us. You know, we don't have to worry about getting into heaven if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so the things that disturb us in this life, we can kind of let go of them a little bit. We don't have to worry about that so much. because we know that our future is safe in Christ. Peter also reminds us that we're not unique in our suffering. We're not the only ones who are doing this. In fact, he was writing to people in a wide area of the church in that time that was going through times of persecution and suffering. And he wanted them to know that they're not alone. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps his promise, and he will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm. At the time you are put to the test, he will give you the strength to endure it and so provide you with a way out. We go through things that are common to people, but God provides us the strength and the way out. You know that old proverb that says, when God closes a door, he opens a window? God provides that way out. And one of the biggest dangers when we're going through trials and pressures is the danger of self-pity. Oh, poor me. Look at all this stuff that's going on in my life. But Peter wants us to be of good cheer and good hope because we know that in perspective, it's not that big. Because the bigger thing is that we have heaven ahead of us. And we have that inheritance that is kept safe for us there. And what we're going through is common to human experience. So having the proper perspective can help us to cope with the pressures and trials of life. It also helps us to cope with those pressures and trials if we understand the purpose of them. Peter says that now we may have to go through some trials and pressures. It may be a part of our required course of life. Why do we go through them? He gives us several reasons. To refine our faith, he says. Through trials, the impurities of our faith rise to the top, where God can deal with them. You know, if you've ever watched them refine metal, you know that they melt the metal and it kind of solidifies, and then the dross or the bad stuff, that's the impurities that are mixed in the metal, rise to the top and they're scraped off. And this happens not just once, but many times as they purify that metal and make it as pure as possible. When we go through trials and difficulties in life, our weaknesses and the things that God wants to heal in us rise to the top. You know, we're very good at pretending. I know that you all are very good at pretending because you walk in the door on Sunday morning smiling at me and shaking my hand as if there's nothing wrong in life. And I know that for some of you that's not the case. We are good at pretending that everything's all right and that we are all right and that we don't need to worry and so forth. But God puts us through trials and difficulties so that we can't deny those areas of our life that really need him. They rise to the top in the middle of a trial. When we are dealing with difficult times, we find that we need God. And our weaknesses are exposed so that he can wipe them off the top and purify our faith and help us to be all that he created us to be. In my own life, trials have reminded me to trust in God more rather than rely on my own abilities. That's always my biggest temptation, you know. I can do this. I can do that. Sure, I can do that. But in the midst of difficult times, I have to remember I can't do that without God's help. I need his strength, his wisdom, his guidance, his power at work in me. So trials refine our faith. They also glorify God. Do you remember the blind man that I talked about a few weeks ago? As Jesus was walking along, he saw a blind man, a man who had been born blind, and his disciples asked him, "Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?" But Jesus answered, "His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him." There are times in life when trials come to us so that God's power may be seen to be at work in us, so that we might glorify God. I'll never forget hearing a preacher preach a sermon during my time at seminary. And he told the story. The preacher's name was John Stott, who was a world-renowned Anglican priest. And he told about this time when he was preaching in Australia. He was preaching a crusade there, and it was raining. And through the period of days that he was preaching, his voice got worse and worse and worse. Until the last and biggest day of the crusade that was supposed to be the big climax of the whole thing, he had no voice. And he's supposed to preach the gospel and invite people to respond to Jesus Christ. He said that he ended up holding the microphone up to his lips and whispering the whole sermon. And he figured, well, this is going to be a total dud. But the response to the sermon was overwhelming. Because he had to talk so softly, he had no voice, people had to listen. And they had to really listen to catch what he was saying. And because they were really concentrating and listening, it really hit home to them. And so many responded. And it was all because God used that time of weakness and trial in his life to bring about a wonderful result. When we go through those times, people can see that we couldn't possibly make it through this on our own. It had to be God. And so he gets the glory and the praise. You know, Paul had the problem of a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what the thorn was, what the problem was that was in his life, and he kept praying that God would take it away, and God never did. Instead, God told Paul, "My grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak." In our weakness, in our inability, that's when God's grace and God's power becomes visible. Another purpose of trials is to call us to repentance. C.S. Lewis said, "Pain is God's megaphone to speak to a deaf world." And you know, all of us are spiritually deaf to a degree. And sometimes we just don't pay attention to God. And he is persistently calling to us, saying, "Yoo-hoo, pay attention. Learn about this," or "I want you to do that," or "You need to deal with this in your life." And we blithely go on just totally ignoring him, either because we can't hear or because we won't hear. And sometimes, you know, I've had people say, you know, sometimes I need to ask God for the 2x4 upside the head to just get my attention and realize that God is saying something. And that's what trials and pain can be for us. I heard the story of a woman once who was so busy that she had no time for God until her back went out. And she ended up lying on her back for 6 weeks. Well, then she had plenty of time for God. And sometimes, you know, that's what it takes. Those trials and those pressures of life lead us to that point where we realize, oh yeah, I've been leaving God out of my life. Trials are meant to teach us obedience and submission to God. That's what Jesus learned through his trials. You know, it's amazing that even Jesus had trials. And the writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus learned through his sufferings to be obedient to God. If Jesus had to go through sufferings and trials in life to learn that, we should expect the same. There's a purpose behind our trials. We don't always know what that purpose is at the time, but we know that there is a purpose. So how should we handle trials? How should we deal with those times when we're going through overwhelming situations? I'm going to zip real fast through this, but the thing we need to do, first of all, is cry out to God. Because if we remember, the purpose of the trial is to acknowledge our own weakness. When we cry out to God, we receive his strength. We're not an inferior Christian because we're going through trials. Jesus himself had trials. The psalmist had trials. Trials are a part of life, but we need to cry out to God in them. And then we need to put our trust in God. You know, when people go through trials, the tendency is we want to take control. This bad thing is happening to me or has happened to me, and therefore, I've got to take control so that I can prevent anything more bad from happening. But that is exactly the opposite, wrong answer. because we cannot, by taking control, prevent anything bad from happening. Instead, what we need to do is relinquish control to God and put our trust in Him. And that leads us to the next point, which is to be patient. You know, so oftentimes in trials and difficulties, we say, Lord, I want help and I want it now. And we are very impatient about what He wants to do in our lives. It's like that child who planted a seed in the ground for a school science project, but every day he kept digging it up to see if it was growing. We need to be patient and allow God to work in the situation. And then we are not to complain. Paul says in Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing. That might be a good advice for our meeting a little bit later, right? Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be innocent and pure as God's perfect children who live in a world of corrupt and sinful people. In the midst of our trials and difficulties, trusting in God means we're not going to complain. And we should avail ourselves of the strength and encouragement of the body, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are here for each other. God did not set us to be alone as Christians. He invites us to be part of a fellowship. And we are here for one another. When we're going through difficult times, we can lean on each other. We don't have to pretend that life is great. We can be honest with each other and say, you know, I'm really struggling right now. And then we need to be that support and encouragement for each other in the midst of our struggles. When I was younger, there was this song that was a hit song that said, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. Perhaps some of you remember that song. Life is not a rose garden. Life is real. But so is faith in a resurrected Christ. And the good news of Easter and the resurrection of Christ is that we can experience His resurrection power at work in us in the midst of our trials and difficulties and pressures and burdens. I would encourage you to call upon Him and trust Him in the midst of those things that you're going through right now, to know the reality of His undergirding strength. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You so much that You hold the keys to life in Your hands. And not only life in this world, but life in eternity. And that through You, we can find hope and help in time of need. Lord, whatever those trials are that we're going through right now, whatever the pressures that we are experiencing, we just lift them up to You. And we pray that Your grace would be sufficient for us, that Your strength would be made perfect in our weakness. Accomplish Your purpose in each of those trials and pressures, and allow us to grow and become the person that You created us to be. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.